Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I was called to be a missionary at age 8 and drank my first Genesee beer in the 8th grade, and I became a boy boozer. And I graduated to a bartender and then managed some restaurants. And then one day, a beautiful lady walked into one of my restaurants, the lady who is my wife now, Lana. And she got me going to church, and they could smell me 10 pews away. And that was beer odor, not body odor, okay? And I was born again in a great Baptist church in 1968. And I was called to preach a few days later in 1968, and then married in 1968. And so that was a great year for me. Took my first missions trip in 1968. And pastored for 24 years. I was the dean of Rocky Mountain Bible Institute for 14 years. And the last 8 years, we've been Joshua Nations establishing Bible training centers in the nations. And we have a two-year curriculum, and we translate it into a dialect, then we print books, and then we go and train leaders to start Bible training centers. And God's been so good to us, and I think this PowerPoint will probably tell the story. So our ministry is Joshua Nations, and we were founded years ago. And so we're in 38 nations. They're not all listed here, but some of those are listed here now. And we have 4 or 5 more that are not yet into the PowerPoint. And so these are just some places where God's allowed us to start Bible training centers. Then we have translated into about 34 languages. These are a few of those. And right now we're translating into Farsi and Uzbekistan and Tajikistan for Afghanistan, Iran, and those two, and we're translating 2 languages in Africa. And so these need updating. Then the next slide gives us, right now it's 6,075 schools, 140,353 students. It changes almost weekly now, 27,300 and some graduates, 40 nations, 32 languages, and we've printed at this point over 90,000 books. And so this is just the expanse of Joshua Nations, and we thank God for that. The next slide is, if you were fortunate enough to be at the ball game the other night, you would have seen a stadium full of people. Well, we have enough students almost to fill Mile High Stadium twice. So the next time you're at a ball game, just look out there and see all those students, and we've got twice that around the world in the globe. And so God has really showed up and outdone himself, and we're just kind of tagging along, trying to figure out what we're doing, trying to catch up with him and be what he wants us to be at our young years in life. My wife Lana, married 46 years, well, working on 46. I say working, she's not here. Take that off that tape. Enjoying almost 46 years of marriage. She's in Alabama. I'll meet her there next Monday. And so God's blessed us greatly. The next slide is a picture of some of our graduates. I think these are ones in Cuba. I have personally handed out over 27,000 diplomas to graduates all over the world, and I can't tell you what a joy and a thrill, and that's what keeps me going to bed at night and wakes me up early in the morning. The next slide, these are just some of the books. Everywhere we go, we print books. So these are some of the 90,000. And this was in Pereira, Colombia, where in our crusades, over 9,000 came to Christ. And these are some of the books that were printed to train the leaders there in Pereira. And we're going back, here in December. I didn't know, but we have over 200 graduates ready to graduate in Pereira. So God is good, isn't he? The next picture you'll like is, you know, you got to have a pig on a stick somewhere. So this is in the backyard of a Cuban home. And they cooked a pig for us and really was good, I'm telling you. And then here's a card that everybody salivates after and really wants. And so that's a beautiful card there in Cuba. There's thousands of them there like that. In the next slide, we have just some pictures of people. I think these are in India. Yeah, and these are some books that we printed in Hindi that they printed for us. The next slide is they're making bricks. These are some African boys in Gulu, Uganda, and they're making bricks, and it takes them about 5 weeks to make a finished brick. And this is the process they go through, and then here's some just some goats, and I'll talk about that in a second. Okay, the next slide is we're also, this is kind of a side shoot that God's given Joshua Nations in community transformation. And Joseph Kony and the rebellion took away their land, and just a terrible traumatic onslaught to where 40% of the northern Uganda population is now in trauma. And so we're giving them their land back. We tilled the land, and now they're producing crops. We have a church in this village, and we have a Bible training center. We built a medical clinic, a pharmacy. We just bought a medevac van and a cargo truck. And so now they can take the crops to market, and now they can go and bring women in from the villages who are pregnant, and where they can give their babies birth on sterile, clean shirts instead of on a dirt floor. And they take a machete and just cut off the umbilical cord. Little kids running around with stumps on their stomach the rest of their life. Then we bought brick-making machines out of Nairobi, brought them into Gulu, and those brick-making machines now do in 2 days what it took 5 weeks to do. And now they sell the bricks, they put money into the co-op. There's 40 farmers in the co-op. They're all born again. They're all working together, growing the crops. And then goats are kids for kids, a vaccinated goat for every family. Now they're growing herds, and they're becoming self-sufficient. And irrigation machines water the crops in drought season. Then they can take the crops to the market and get three times much as anybody else, because nobody else can do that. And then we're educating the children, and we bought tractor plow where they walk behind the tractor and till the earth. And so this is becoming a self-sustaining and propagating community in northern Uganda, and we're going to replicate this all over Uganda. So that's just kind of a side shoot. So we give God the glory, and we're grateful for Faith Bible Chapel partnering with us. Thank you, Blake. And many of you who support us, thank God for you. You're the ones that keep my life up in the air all the time. And as you shovel the coal, we spread the fire, and we're eternally grateful, and I know God is, and I know these 38 nations are eternally grateful for your support to make it possible for us to do what we do. And so God's heart is riddled with a searing hunger for the nations and the ends of the earth. We see it in Genesis where a man fell and the cross was pictured, Genesis 3:15, and then God calls Abraham, and Abraham had the gospel. He preached the gospel way back there, so the gospel didn't begin just with Jesus, but well back before the foundation of the world. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and that's what the gospel is. It's the good. And when we believe, righteousness is accredited to our account. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Then Esther comes along and spares the whole nation of Israel, greatest missionary in the Old Testament. Then Isaiah comes and talks about the Christ child, for unto you a child is born. And Isaiah 49 tells us that the role of Israel was to bring the Messiah, that we could all become one in Jesus Christ. He said, I will make you a light for the Gentiles. That's us-ins. Amen. That my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God's global glory is that the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Great is the work God, and great is the company who published that. And so we see Jonah going to Nineveh, and then we see Daniel, who has the end time prophecy, the scenario that we're living in and about to enter into on the face of the earth. So this is the Word of God, removing all doubt that the work and the will and the witness of God will be all over the world. And so this is a marvelous thing. I want to this evening to two familiar portions of Scripture, prophetic portions of Scripture, I think answer many things. And of course, the first one is Matthew 24:14. And let me remind you that Jesus is speaking here. And this is probably the greatest all-inclusive sign of the kingdom of God in work in the earth and when the Lord is going to end everything and come again. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end is coming." The end is not coming until the gospel is preached to every tribe, in every village, in every hut, and every person on the face of the earth. I don't care what happens in nature. I don't care about the blue moons and the red moons and the black moons. Jesus is not going to end it until the gospel reaches all the nations. Amen. So Matthew 24:14 is where I hang my hat until I lay this head down or he comes. Mark 13:10 says, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." Ephesians says and Colossians says that the message of Jesus will fill every space in the universe, and it will resound and echo with the good news of Jesus and his grace. Rock solid biblical perspective when Jesus will come. I tell you tonight, when Jesus is going to come, it's when every last person is heard and every last one has been given a chance to receive Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And that's when he will come. All of the other signs are wonderful. Thank God for all of the prophecy teachers, and they're all pegs we hang our hats on as we look to the hope of church. And the hope of the church is the coming of Jesus Christ again. That is our hope. There is no other hope. There is no other hope but the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. And here is the biblical sign. I can handle this sign. There's a lot of others that get my head around and my hands around, but I can get my hands around this one and my heart into this one, that we're to bring the good news to every person on the face of the earth, and it is being done. Amen. So we should snap to laser focus attention to transform the lives of the worlds with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many are running to and fro to all of the different signs and all of the things, but when the Lord will come is a misguided question. That's not really the question. The question is not when is the Lord coming? The question is, what am I going to do about it? And what are you going to do about it? Folks are looking for everything else than what they should be looking for, and they should be looking for the proclamation of the good news in the world, and many people are getting sidetracked, and we're waiting on him to come. He's waiting on us to do something about his coming. Right. Amen. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on me to get with it. Amen. And you saw what has happened in 8 years. Glory be to God. But there's other things coming. I'm coming to a higher level. I'm coming to a greater place of fruitfulness and effectiveness. Haven't really seen much yet. This is just a dent. But what is ahead is incredible. Now, Acts 1:8 is a very familiar scripture. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he will give you power. Everybody say power. to be witnesses unto Jesus in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The power is to be a witness. When Jesus told his disciples this in Acts chapter 1, he'd been with them for 40 days. He taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told them about what was going to come and what was going to happen. And somehow they didn't get it, you know. And so when he's getting ready to go to heaven, they don't know about it or wherever he went, paradise or I don't know, but to be with the Father, that's a good place to go. Amen. To be with the Father is a fine place. And so he told them about the promise of the Holy Spirit. This whole section, Acts 1:8, is bathed with scriptures in front and in back of it, and it all has to deal with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said when he comes, this is what he'll do. And he no sooner finished telling them that, and they looked at him, and they said, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they missed it. They were nationalistic in their thinking about Israel. They weren't thinking about Gentiles. They weren't thinking about pagans. They were thinking about their own hearts and their lives and their nation. That was Jonah's problem. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want those folks to get the gospel. Amen. And that was the problem. He thought it was just for the Jews and Judaism, which we found out was not the truth. It is for them, and it is for the Gentiles, so we all can be made one in Jesus Christ. To the ends of the earth. Everybody say that. To the ends of the earth. Max Lucado puts it this way: answer the big question of eternity, and the little questions of life will fall into perspective. Oh, isn't that profound? We must have a willful fixation on God's eternal purpose in this hour. And so Jesus answered their question. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is telling them this, and the only reason he's telling them this is because they were missing it. In other words, Jesus is really telling them, you guys have missed it. You're off course. You've missed my eternal purpose. You're rabbit trail chasing. You still haven't got the picture. And the picture is the Great Commission. And he said to them, he didn't say this to them, but he'd already said it to him. He said in Matthew, go and preach the gospel, go and make disciples of all nations. He said in Mark, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Luke that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in all of the nations. He said in John, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then in Acts 1:8, he reiterates to them again. These were the last words of Jesus as they watched his heels slip up into heaven. These were the last words to them, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. It's not a matter of maybe you'll do it, but after the power comes, you will be witnesses. There'll be no way you can't testify of me unto people and to the nations and everybody. You will be to the ends of the earth. In my best words, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is first and foremost power. That's what Jesus said. It's power. Thank God for speaking in tongues. Thank God for all the gifts, and I'm moving those, and I thank God for them, and I speak in tongues like a singer sewing machine. But if I'm not out witnessing, not out with the power, if I'm not bringing the Christ, if we're not transforming nations, then what good is that other than maybe a little Pentecostal hoedown or a party? It's the power. Out of the power will flow everything. And besides that, all the gifts are resident in the Holy Ghost in you anyway. They're all there anyway. Amen. Amen. When you were born again, they're all there. Jesus came and he brought everything with him. Amen. He didn't come crippled. He brought everything with him. He brought the whole package with him. We just need to learn how to yield and surrender and see those things stirred up and be released. And so Jesus is talking about this to them. And this was the counsel of Jesus first. He knew that they, as well as others, would get sidetracked and get hobby horse doctrines for their own kingdom purposes. A lot of things today are being done for their own kingdom purposes. Hear me. And he knew that if he didn't set them straight and give them a biblical mandate, this was really his first manifesto to them. In the five or six great commissions, they were all given at the end of his life before he was ready to go. That ought to probably tell us something. Amen? Even I can figure that out. That the Bible clearly teaches us that God will redeem a people from all the parts of the earth through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. Isaiah said that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Every portion of the earth before this thing is going to see the salvation of God. Isaiah looked down through the corridors of time 700 years before Jesus and the disciples would come forth. And he says, how beautiful on the feet of the mount, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Isaiah saw it. He saw it prophetically. He saw it in Jesus. He saw it in all the apostles and all the disciples, and he saw then every single one of us that someday the good news would go, and how beautiful are the feet of those who carry good news, just not those who go, but those who make it possible for those who go. That's each of you. Turn to somebody and say, that's you. That's me. That's you. What a marvelous thing. And see, even the angels knew the truth of this scenario before Jesus talks to them, because after they see Jesus leave and just slip up into wherever he went, to the right hand of the Father, the disciples are just standing there, and they're looking, and they're looking, and they're looking. And the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? In the Greek tenor, it's the idea, you've been standing here long enough, he's gone. He told you what to do already in six commissions, and he just got telling you what to do. Why are you standing here? Get away from here and get to Jerusalem and get to the nations and get to the world and get up in that place where the 120, you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and get up there and wait and pray and get right, because it's going to happen. Oh, amen. So he's trying to still give them mid-course direction. Winky Pratney says, hell seems to know better the critical nature of the hour than the average Christian and the churches in America. It's the Father's hot resolve to satisfy the cross of Calvary with the souls of humanity. It's the way that God makes the enemy pay for what he's doing. And it's the way that we make the enemy pay for what he's doing. Every thing we see all over the earth and in the realm of where we all serve. Make him pay. Win somebody to Jesus. That'll drive him stark, raving mad. Amen? Mm-hmm. He can't handle that. He has no recourse for that. None whatsoever. He has no recourse for that. Now, go to Revelation 5, and there's some verses there. And I just want to tell the story the best that I can. But Revelation 5 and 1 through 7 or 8 or 9, there's a familiar scene. And John is blessed to see this. How many of y'all know John was blessed? He got to see those end time things that some have taken place and those that are going to be. But God's on the throne. And in his right hand is a scroll. And there's writing on the inside and on the outside of the scroll. And it's sealed with this red wax. And nobody can open the scroll. Now, let me say this. This scroll was the kind of a scroll that would be used in a real estate deal. It was a real estate document. And the Father's holding it in his right hand, and nobody can open it. And the angel begins to cry and says, "Who can open the scroll?" And the scripture says there in Revelation 5, 1 through 7 or 8 verses there, it says, "No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open it or even able to look at it." Think about that. I mean, this is a pretty important document. Nobody's even able to look at it. This is a sacred thing. This is probably the greatest scroll that was ever written. I know it is. It was probably the greatest document, better than the greatest real estate deal that if you're in real estate, you could ever hope for or even come into. But nobody could open it. And John begins to sob. And it's the tenor of the language. He begins to weep. And he sobs uncontrollably. He can't stop it because nobody can look at it or open it or read it. And then the scripture says that Jesus of the lion of the tribe of Judah, who has prevailed, went and took the scroll. There are some things that only Jesus can do. Amen. There are some things that are reserved for Jesus to do. And nothing we can do. I mean, and that's wonderful. And so Jesus is the only one worthy to go and take the scroll from the Father's hands. You see, who is worthy to lead us out of this mess that we're in? I say, wake up, Democrats. Wake up, Republicans. Wake up, independents. Wake up, presidents and leaders who have vaunted themselves in pride. Pride goes more destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we're beginning to see the fall. Everywhere. Everywhere. On the TV, the stories of all these leaders that are so sin-soaked, pride-infested, wicked and unevil in their thinking, and what's going on, and only one can clean up this mess. It won't come from Washington, and it won't come from the best brain think tank in the world, and it won't come getting all of the leaders together. There is only one who can do it, and that is Jesus, the Lion of Judah and the Root of David, has prevailed. Jesus prevailed. He came and he was born, and he prevailed 3 years in the midst of everything, and he went to the cross, and he prevailed, and he slipped up into heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he still prevails. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you think for a minute God doesn't have any more of his tricks. He just letting the system go and just letting it unravel. Then he's got some great tricks for all of us and some things we have never seen him do. He's going to do some things the world has never seen. I say God's going to do some things he himself has never done. Not that he can't do anything. But he's got some activity on the board for this end times. So my eyes are not on the economy, and they're not on leaders, but I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's where our help comes from. He steps forth. We better be praying for a revival that will open the eyes of the blind and cleanse the world and the body of Christ from its sin, that we can heal the hardest and most broken heart. He is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings, and in him all things are held together, and in him all things will be brought together spiritually and naturally. It's all going to come together in Christ. Now, here's the kicker. It's the scroll. It's just not any scroll. But this scroll is the title deed to the earth. It's the title deed to the earth. And only Jesus can come back and claim this world and put it back where it was in the beginning. It's the title deed to this earth. It's the title deed to us. It's the title deed to everything he is and everything that we have. And he's going to come back and he's going to set it straight. So quit looking and listening to all the titillizing and tantalizing theories that are being put forth, and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to the one who was and is to come. Amen? Amen. Now, the beauty about this is that the promises of Matthew 24:14 and Acts 1:8 and Revelation 5, they're all a done deal in the heart of God. It's happening everywhere. This is a done deal. This isn't something that God's wringing his hands about and wondering if the body of Christ is going to catch up with him. No, no, no. The body of Christ and Great Commission churches have the ability and the capacity to do so. We have the resources and the gifting and technology. We're putting solar players in villages, and on the solar player is the God story. It's 85 minutes. And putting them in villages, put them in South Sudan, where we started a Bible school in that Muslim-infested area, and they put it in the town square, and all the village comes to listen to the God story, and many of them receive Christ. One father went home, and the next day brought a testimony to one of the missionaries, our apostles, Robert and Justin, said, "All my family have come to Jesus. I have not, but I probably will." Woo! Amen! Just a solar player is winning villages, transforming communities with just the sheer good news of Jesus. One of my team representatives, this is Pastor Dan DeVideo, And he pastors in Westcliff, Colorado. And Pastor Dan is traveling and starting Bible schools for us. And Wednesday morning, he's up at 4 o'clock in his church, standing in his pulpit. And through Skype, he's training leaders in the Philippines. Amen. Amen. We're about to begin a new initiative to plant 1,000 churches in the next 5 to 10 years. And we're going to do it. Amen. I'll be right here to give testimony of it. Amen. You see, God is doing it. I don't only want to finish well, but I want to finish multiplying. They're both the same side of the same coin. But we just not want to get by and, whoo, I made it. But we want to finish multiplying the nations. One of my favorite and famous quotes is from Oswald Sanders. He says, when a person gives God the rights to his life, he will make a holy experiment out of him. Boy, I want to be that kind of person. Amen. I want God to make a holy experiment out of me in this hour. You see, Jesus and the Father have just not been twiddling their thumbs, but Jesus and the Father have been busy working through His people, all of you and me, to chip away at this redemption project. There are 7 billion people in the world, latest statistics, roughly. There's 24,000 people groups. 16,000 of these people groups have already been reached with the gospel. I say that's great progress. There's 8,000 people groups yet to be reached. At best, with gracious estimates, there are 3 billion BBCs, that's Bible-believing Christians. There's 3 million of them in the earth. That means 3 billion in the earth. And that means there's 4 billion or 58% of the world still unreached. Look at the progress that's been made. In 100 AD, 100 years after Jesus rose from the dead, there was one Bible-believing Christian for every 360 people. In 2010, there's one Bible-believing Christian for every 7 people. Amen. Now, we got the odds beating here, but the next time you're in an airport, you just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's a believer there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's a believer there. Amen. On an airplane, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So why don't we just jump up and shout, you know, and say, hey, anybody here know Jesus? And look at all the ones that are going to say yes. Amen. I mean, we've come a long way. The kingdom outreach has come a long way. There's 500 pastors in Iraq alone. 300 to 500 Muslims spend 3 to 5 hours a day in Christian chat rooms talking about Jesus. They say there's 600,000 believers in Iraq and Iran, and it takes 5 minutes to win a Muslim to Jesus and 10 minutes for the hard cases. Tell me something is not happening around the world. And we're all a part of that. What a marvelous thing it is. So how can we do our part? You know, there's a great hymn of the faith that says, rise up, O man of God, be done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and strength and mind to serve the King of Kings. Be done with lesser things. Boy, that just gets me. What are the lesser things that I need to be done with? And I'm busy. You know that. You're busy. We're all busy. But here are some takeaways tonight. Number one, Get you and your kids their passports, because you never know when God is going to finger you to go to a nation, and you can't go because you don't have your passport. I can't tell you how many people who wanted to go to Cuba or a nation with us, and they didn't have their passport. And the Avis is getting the passport right now. I mean, she's got her passport. She's getting a visa right now. She's going to Cuba, and I can't see everybody here. Amen. And so we've got a team of 17, and we're going to graduate another 1,300 students in January. There's over 40,000 students in Cuba. So get your passport and be ready. Ask God for the nations. Psalm 2:8 says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the gates of the world for your possession." And this is a prophecy about Jesus. Jesus asked that for me. And I've been praying that verse for years, ever since I got saved 46 some years ago. I've been praying that verse. I don't know how many times I've prayed it over the last years. And then 8 years ago, God did a transition in our lives and ministry, and now I guess I'm a missionary. I guess. So ask God for a nation. The way the scripture says is all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. The rest is up to Him. So where I go? You don't have to be concerned with that. How will I get there? You don't have to be concerned about that. Where am I going to get the money? That's the least of your problems. Hear me. That's the least of your problems. If you allow money to dictate, if you allow coins and clocks and calendars and circumstances to dictate what you do for God, you will never get anything done. Come on now. You won't. So ask God. He'll take care of all the rest. I've been asking Him all these years, and He's taken care of all the rest. Amen. Ask God for the gift of tears. They that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with their sheaves with them. When's the last time you cried over the lost, or a nation, or a neighbor? Are all these people that are doing all of these horrific things, they're lost. They're lost. They don't deserve to go to hell. Nobody deserves to go to hell. I don't care who it is. Tenderize your heart and your compassion. Pray for the gift of tears. It's a big one. Pray about leaving the comforts of America and going to the nations. Years ago, my wife was not ready to go and live in a country. Now she is. And I'm not willing to go. What's with this picture? No, I'm willing if God were to say it. He may say that. I don't know. The next thing is look for the instant ripe harvest all around you. Every day, it's yours for the picking. There's an instant ripe harvest. Harvest. Jesus said, don't say 4 months and then, but the harvest is ripe. It's instantly ripe everywhere. Amen? Then number 7, today you can adopt a missionary for 1 year. And this is Missions Wednesday and then Sunday. And you all have cards and there's missionaries on there. And there's so many of them that just need help. You don't have to pick me. If you want to, that's up to you. If you want to sow a seed and get all of this, that's okay. But you don't have to choose me. I'm not saying pick me. There's a lot of missionaries there that need lots of help. You say, don't you need help? Well, sure we need help. We all do. But I know enough that God's going to take care of everything. But so not everybody is called to go, but everybody can sow. I need a few amens there. See, there are prayers and there are payers. If it weren't for payers, I wouldn't be here tonight. And prayers. And so the answer is not accumulated wealth, but circulated wealth. Don't accumulate it, circulated. Amen. Oh, we can do so much. The body of Christ is wealthy. Hello. I could use an amen there. I'm going to go to the airport now. I don't get any more amens than that. So Pastor Blake is going to come and just kind of share with you how to do that. To the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.